I'll tell you, giddy up, right? Saddled for battle. It's an incredible, incredible news cycle, news, my goodness, all the news that's taking place, terror attacks. And for those who are not watching the corporate media, it is abundantly clear, or should be abundantly clear, that Donald Trump, President Trump, his claim of surveillance, he's been vindicated. Now, Adam Schiff and others have been doing the two-step, trying to mitigate the damage from the statement that, from the unmasking. And you heard about that in earlier segments. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Do we need this segment, this hour? Pastor David Langford is coming right up. Before we get to Pastor Langford, let me just say that we have music in our studios, and music is one of life's greatest pleasures. It's got tremendous power. It's got the power to bring a tear to your eye or to quiet the racing mind, doesn't it? I mean, music also has the power to heal. This has been proven. And it's been used through the ages to treat depression, to treat chronic illnesses, to create energy, to induce sleep, to relieve chronic pain, to reduce stress, and even cure diseases. This has been proven. And now, musician and author Michael Terrell has created Whole Tones. And you've heard him on our show, mentioned it earlier, the Healing Frequency Music Project. Whole Tones, the Healing Frequency Music Projects. These frequencies were studied in the music of King David and believed to have astounding healing effects. Now you, the listener, can benefit from this revitalized ancient healing music therapy simply by listening daily to this music in the comfort of your own home, or if you got a commute in your car, or your office. We do this. We do it all the time. Folks, reward yourself with a gift of healing and transformation. Don't miss this opportunity to get an absolutely free sample of this music so you can begin benefiting right now. Seriously. I would urge everyone to try this out. Support this broadcast. Support this show. Go to wholetoneslive.com and get a free sample of these soothing, relaxing, revitalizing musical tones. Go to the URL wholetoneslive.com. You got that? WholeTonesLive.com today for your free sample. You heard Michael Terrell on, and he explained everything. Bible frequencies. That's Whole Tones. I'm going to spell it for you. It's WHOLETONES. WholeTonesLive.com. Do it today.
Joining us now is Pastor David Langford. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Last two Wednesdays, he had off. We had to fit a guest in there. But he is back with us. And don't forget, next week is the question and answer part of Pastor David Langford. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as the interview progresses. Pastor, it's great to have you back on.
Great to be with you, brethren, tonight, and to share the unsearchable riches of Christ. And what a profound and interesting time we are witnessing.
Yes, it is.
I don't think that could be overstated. You know, it's an amazing time. I thank God that I'm alive today to see what's going on. But, you know, with that observation, Pastor, a lot of people are having, there's some trepidation, there's some fear, there's some concern, there's this disconcernment, but we know how this story ends. We know that we are saved through our Lord and Savior. So that's a great news.
Well, that's without a doubt, Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We're not at the end yet. Therefore, it's imperative that we endure. It's amazing how God has anointed Donald Trump. Now, I know that makes some people cringe, especially all the purported Christian Trump haters that hate this man. You know, some are calling him the possible Antichrist. Of course, that's been going on ever since the beginning of time. But what Donald Trump is, Doug and Joe, is he's God's anointed. Psalms 105:15 saying, touch not mine anointed. Then it says, and do my prophets no harm. God's anointed does not have to be a preacher. or a prophet or a pastor or an apostle or an evangelist. An anointed vessel is simply that, God's chosen vessel, for whatever particular thing that God has willed or planned. That's why Trump relates so significantly to Cyrus. Cyrus didn't even know God. He had no relationship with God whatsoever. And I watch as this man has bumfuzzled the world and Christianity in general. And, you know, he's being vindicated about the wiretapping. And I'm watching all of this explode, and the Bible talks about a spirit of madness. In Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now, the word madness in the Hebrew means insanity, craziness. Are we not witnessing insanity all over the place? You know, the first real pronouncement of that was 7 years ago when Nancy Pelosi said, we've got to pass the bill to see what's in it. Now, that will go down in history as one of the most moronic statements ever made by a human being. I mean, a jackass has got more sense than that, because it can rationalize with God and with man. And so when you witness the spirit of madness that God said he would bring upon those who spurn him and reject him, we're beginning to witness the insanity of people's legitimate thinking. They're literally insane. And then there's another verse in Deuteronomy 32 and 25, the sword without and terror within. Now, because of all of this illegal immigration, we're witnessing terror throughout all of these civilized communities. And it's because this is the work of the spirit of the Antichrist, to bring globalism into the world, a world without borders. That cannot be. God never made it like that. He gave Israel their borders, as I said before, in Genesis 15, from the Nile River to the Euphrates. I have to go back and look at my geography, the north and the south, but I know the east and the west was the Nile and the river Euphrates. And you're witnessing the insanity, the asininity of leaders who are operating in a spirit of madness. And what has really brought that to its zenith is the element of sin. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And now we have a generation of lawlessness, that anybody can do anything, break the laws. The laws are for the crooks. The laws are for the criminals. It seems like a just man can never get justice, but a wicked man gets more than justice. And it shows you how the tables have so turned. And this is why the church today has to remain focused. I want to give an analogy here. It may be a poor analogy, but I think it's a good analogy. From 0 to 100, 100, the machine blows up, it explodes, it's eviscerated, parts flying everywhere. We were at 91, and God mashed the pause button and just stopped everything in its tracks and inserted a parenthetical time and a parenthetical move for not anyone else, but for the church, God's people, to help us to get where we need to be. Now, there's a very unique thing about a pause button, especially on a CD, a song, or whatever. When you go back and mash the pause button to start playing again, you don't start back at zero. You pick right back up at 91. So God has pressed the pause button, and everything has all of a sudden seemingly waned and abated. And now it's just kind of a pause. There's a moment here, a breathing moment. But when God mashes the pause button to start it back, we don't start back at zero and build up. We're already at 91. So we have just a short time till we get to the 100 measure, and then we have obliteration. And this is what the Lord's been putting in my heart, for us to not be deceived. Nothing has changed other than God has said, I'm going to pause things to give my people a chance to pray, a chance to fast, a chance to cry out to me, because we were headed down a road of destruction. And nothing has changed. I heard your previous guest talking about the national debt, $20 trillion. God smashed the pause button, but has the debt disappeared? No. When God hits the button again, this debt will be the same, if not more, and the pressure will even be greater. So I want to encourage the people of God. Now is the time to press in. Don't quit praying for Donald Trump. Pray and cover him in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, Satan is going to do everything that he can to destroy this pause. Satan is angry. I was sharing with someone earlier tonight, Revelation 4 and 8, talking about the cherubim, the seraphim. It says, they rest not day or night, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And the reason I referenced that verse, it says, they rest not day or night. Why? They are spiritual creatures, spiritual entities, spiritual beings. That's what Satan is, and his minions, and the third of the angels that fell with him. They neither rest day or night. So when you and I are in the bed sleeping, they're on the other side of the world wreaking havoc and raising all kinds of hell, trying to destroy humanity in every sense of the word. They never rest. They never stop. So if God's creatures that stayed committed, sanctified to him, rest not day nor night, look at the fallen angels and those who are with Lucifer, the demonic entities and powers and principalities of the air, they don't rest day or night. So it's a continual onslaught. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to say, God, I come against every plot that Satan made against me while I was asleep in the bed. I come against that evil, that wicked, sinister, vile plot he's tried to plot against my home, my family, my life, my business, my spouse. I rebuke it in Jesus' name, because he's not going to rest. And so because we have seen so much wickedness, so much sin, so much lawlessness, now people are becoming literally mad with the spirit of insanity. Did you see the collegiate news reporter the other day that said now milk was racist?
Yes. Yeah, I did see that. And it was Mark Dice did a video on this, for those of you who follow him on YouTube, but there was a few reports. The latest report was piggybacking off a report from a few months ago, but they go on to say that it's a symbol of you know, white supremacy and privilege. It is insanity. It is.
What about a mother nursing a 5-day-old baby with her God-given breast milk? Is that racism?
Well, you know, what I remember now exactly what the claim was. They claimed that milk was racist because apparently 75% of African Americans are lactose intolerant. And they, not only was milk racism, but the United States health guidelines were racist as well, is what they claimed.
You know what? You can't even argue that. I mean, you can't even argue the insanity of that.
You see, that's the insanity. That's what God said would happen, madness. And I know we don't live under the law, but the wages of sin is craziness. It's insanity. None of this stuff to a Christian, none of this stuff makes any sense at all. You look at this and you're like, how in the world can anyone be this crazy? You know, the prodigal son in the 15th chapter of Luke, and verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, now he's been down at the hog pen, filling his belly with husk that the swine did eat. And he said, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, you see, he was insane because he took his blessings from his father and he went out, and the Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous or excess living. This is a nation of excess. This is exactly what he did. And when he had spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land. This is going to be a repeat. There's nothing new under the sun. And he began to be in want, the Bible said. Now he has need. See, he has a deficiency, and he's got a shortfall in his own life. But the Holy Spirit pricked his mind, and he came to himself. You know, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. God sent a spirit on him. He lost his mind. He grew claws like an eagle and feathers on his back. But then when God restored him to his right mind, he acknowledged the deity and the majesty of Jehovah. And I witnessed it many times in a week as I talk or I listen to people, and I listen to the insanity. I listen to their madness. I mean, just like that girl to write that article about milk is a type of racism. I mean, you can't get any more far out there. You talk about looking for stupidity. This girl, now this is our college students that have become so dumbed down that they would even think like that. This is the process of the people's thoughts. I mean, I've never looked at milk and said, because it's white, it's racist, or I've looked at chocolate milk, said, because it's brown or black, it's racist. I mean, this is insanity, guys. And this is the world we're beginning to live in. But I believe with all of my heart, God has opened the door through Donald Trump. As we've said many times, it was totally impossible without God's help to have done what he did. And we have a chance here, and everyone must keep praying. We must keep seeking God. We have a problem in the church. When we get a victory, we suddenly go back to sleep. We can't do that. We can't go to sleep at the wheel. God has given us an element of time, and going to give people of his kingdom more power, more authority to do more things for him. Now, that power, of course, should never be abused. And regretfully, there'll be those who will abuse it. I mean, that happens because they become covetous or whatever the case might be. People can't handle the blessings of God. There are those who can. They never stray. They never err. No matter how much God gives them, they stay on track. There are those who get a little bit, and their focus is no longer on God, but it's on the prosperity. It's on this and on that. But I want to encourage people to stay focused, because we're entering into a time of great warfare. But every time there's a great warfare, there's a great victory. You know, we experienced a great victory, and I want to experience a lot more victories. I don't want to lose any ground that we have conquered, that we have gained. And of course, Satan wants us, you know, to not take that mindset of we're going to be strong, we're going to fight, we're going to battle. But he wants us to capitulate, surrender, and give in, and just, you know, go back to sleep. But now is the time, as never before, to stay strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Indeed, Pastor. And what I see happening, I see a lot of Christians abandoning their posts right now. I don't know if that's the way to phrase it. But I mean, you said it, but... Go ahead.
That right, what you said, post. The root word of apostate is post. APOSTATE. The root word is post. What you said is so insightful. When you become an apostate, only a Christian can become an apostate. Sinners cannot become apostates. Only those who have known the way of truth, and they leave their post, and they go back to the vomit and to the mud, as Peter said in 2 Peter 2, that they go back to the old ways that they were before they were born again. And that's why they leave their post. And that's an apostate. And what you said is so significant tonight, that if we're not careful, a lot of people are going to leave their post and wander and drift and just waft away and think, well, we dodged a bullet. Let's go back, and we can live anyway. We can do anything. We can no longer prepare. Just everything's going to be fine. I want people to understand tonight, nothing has fundamentally changed. God just hit the pause button, but when he hits it the second time to start it back up again, we're at 91. We're not going back to zero and building up all this momentum. We're going to be right back into the throes of this adversity. And this is what God did to Israel time after time after time after time. You know, and they just couldn't handle the blessings, so they fell back into sin and would go back into bondages. And that's why we have the book of Judges. It is a perpetual of bondage, deliverance, bondage, deliverance, bondage, deliverance. Except this time, I don't think there'll be any coming out of it until Jesus returns in all of his kingdom. I really do. But that is a profound point in leaving their post. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I mean, it was just, it's just like been on my mind so much because we just see this lackluster nature of Christians right now. When I opened the show, I was upset about Christians not fighting back or standing up for what is biblically right, what is righteous that we need to do. I mean, we have to say, you know, we're not going to compromise on any number of issues. And it's almost as if, many Christians, I don't mean to pick on Christians, but I'm a Christian, so I can relate to this, I think, but it's almost as like many of us have, we're taking the easy way out. We are refusing to stand up and fight back. And I don't mean physically fight, I mean, say no, this is wrong, this is morally, spiritually, intellectually incorrect, as opposed to taking the easy way and just not addressing the situation. And I just see that this happening more and more. The greater the winds seem to be, whether it's just perception or practical, the greater the ambivalence on the other side seems to be. And that maybe that's just my erroneous perception. I hope it is.
No, it's not. I was in a meeting Monday night, and I had to become demonstrative and regretfully a little more vocal than I needed to be. But what I was witnessing, and I said it out to the board I was sitting in and the people that were in the room, this is one of the most immoral schemes, crookedness, I mean, salacious, wicked things I've ever witnessed. And the guy that's causing all the problem says he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. This is the deception in the Christian world. And you've heard me, Doug and Joe, talk about your conscience. Other than the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that's the highest level of authority in anyone's life is their conscience. And you can see, as you're well seeing, Doug, there are those who don't have a God consciousness. You know, Psalms 10:4 said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. If men incorporated God in their thoughts, abortion would not be legal.
Right.
But they don't incorporate God in their thoughts, so abortion is legal. You know, Psalms 94:16, the psalmist said, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? God asked a very simple question. Who will rise up? Who will stand up for me? We are God's ambassadors. Each of us have a different level of ambassadorship, but we all are ambassadors. And he says, who will rise up for me? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Iniquity is lawlessness. We know that. Matthew 24:12, the word iniquity is lawlessness. When you see anything that is a type of lawlessness, you should stand up and say, that is wrong. We cannot go down that path. We cannot do that. There are consequences. You know, the scripture I've quoted for the last 8 years redundantly was Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We've witnessed People lost their homes, lost their jobs, on welfare, food stamps, public housing, mourning. Why? The wicked are in authority. But let the righteous, you know, everybody wants to laud Bill Clinton. You know, Bill Clinton just reaped Ronald Reagan's sowing. Ronald Reagan declared the Bible to be the book of the year in 1984. That just bled over into the 90s because we had sown 8 years of righteousness. And he got the rewards, he got the benefits, but it wasn't because of him. He was a womanizing whatever. And but the nation was blessed because righteousness was exalted. When a nation lives in sin, it becomes debased. It's brought down. And we have been brought down so low, you know, but God is giving us a time to be raised back up. Righteousness exalts anything. Wickedness debases anything. It's very simple. Just do the right
Absolutely,
thing. I know we're
Pastor.
Close to the break, Joe.
Yeah, we're up against the break. And, you know, we were talking with Greg Hunter in the last segment about the propaganda and, you know, this continued pushing of a lie. And these people have told a lie for so long and so many lies for so long in so many different ways that it is captivating the minds of people who don't know or don't care what truth is beyond what they want it to be. And it
You're
has
exactly
turned
right.
people mad. It has turned people insane. And we're seeing the results of this all over the country. Folks, we're talking with Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric's a...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeclosenwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hagman and Hagman Report. We're talking with Pastor David Langford, and we're talking about the spirit of truth and the manipulation and the lies and the insanity that we see in our world today. We're going to get back to Pastor Langford in just a second, but first...
Folks, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Of course, we know everyone's getting censored. The message from Pastor David Langford, of course, is so important to get out. Please share this segment of the program with your family and friends. But again, subscribe to the Hagman Report. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com or HagmanReport.com and click the subscribe button, or if you're listening to this on Global Star or BTR. Before we get back to Pastor Langford, I just want to direct everyone to TexasReady.net. TexasReady.net. You know, as we approach the times, the event horizon, whatever they might be, you don't need me to tell you what's out there on the horizon. Folks, one of the most important items you can have in your pantry for these times, or just as we approach spring, for spring planting our seeds, regionally appropriate, open pollinated heirloom seeds. And TexasReady.net has certified seeds. They're more expensive, but they think you're worth it, as we do as well. If you don't know how to garden, Texas Ready, they've got several excellent reference manuals as well. We've met the owner of Texas Ready, Lucinda Bailey. She's called the Seed Lady, and for good reason. She really knows her seeds. Folks, seeds of all types, TexasReady.net. That's TexasReady.net. 80-plus varieties of vegetables and fruits, including 8 dual-purpose herbs for culinary and medicinal purposes. They've got it all. TexasReady.net. That's all you need to know.
Again, Pastor David Langford is our guest, the voice of evangelism.com, as well as his radio show on Blog Talk Radio Network, the voice of evangelism. Pastor Langford, where do you want to go this segment?
You mentioned something, Joe, before we broke, about propaganda. Hitler spent 2 years in prison. When he got out of prison, he testified that the greatest thing he learned in prison was the power of propaganda. And that's why he was able to accomplish and deceive and manipulate and come to the zenith of power that he came to through propaganda. You know, most of the networks are not even mentioning the 14-year-old girl that was raped under the Maryland school district.
Yeah.
What they don't want you to know is 30 to 35% of the kids in the schools are illegal immigrants and cannot speak English. Can you fathom a ninth grade teacher trying to teach biology, and 10 to 12 of her classroom students don't even understand English? You think that impedes her ability and brings down the education of the other 20 students in the room? Sure it does. But your liberals say, but this is public education. It's for everyone. But if a ninth grader does not know how to read, see Tom, Chase, Spot, what's he doing in a biology class in the ninth grade? So this is what liberal thinking has done to our society, because it's madness. It's absolute insanity. I'm sorry, you got ready to say something.
No, I posted a few stories on HagmanReport.com about this yesterday and today. There's some new information. What's really startling here is the crime, and you have two immigrants who, one was 17, one was 18, both were listed as freshmen. And then the school has been defending their policy of having these immigrants in the classroom, as the article titled, Parents' Emotions Raw in Wake of Rape at Maryland High School, as a 14-year-old girl was raped inside a Maryland high school, has parents, you know, stoking in anger, but it had little effect on politicians committed to the so-called sanctuary policies. That's on HagmanReport.com. from Fox News. I can't believe, you know, they held a meeting without any media members there and invited the parents to come in. And all these parents are expressing their outrage over this and over the danger that their children are in by bringing some of these immigrants into the class. And the school says, you know, this is not going to change our policies. These illegal immigrants weren't even in the same classroom as this girl. So, you know, it really wasn't, they're just making excuses for these people, and it's very infuriating.
Well, what's amazing is how liberals are the greatest advocates of public education, but they have all their kids in private school. So they don't want their kids brainwashed. They want your kids brainwashed. Go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that is so true. It's the limousine liberal mindset out there. Pastor, I'm sure a lot of Christians might say, well, wait a minute. As Christians, we should be not just tolerant, but open toward, open arms, of course. So let's embrace these refugees, the people in need, the people who are from war-torn countries, and using Christianity as kind of a springboard to accept this kind of infiltration in our country. I didn't mean to go too far afield there with you, but
no, there's no one more discriminating than Christ. I mean, if Christ were here today, he would be eviscerated because of his discrimination. He said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he's telling him, pal, if you don't see things my way, you're not going to make it. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. They'd say, that is discrimination, Jesus. We can get there through Allah. We can get there through Shintoism. He'd say, no, you can't. So they'd say, you're discriminating. You're not just. You claim you're a God of justice. Hey, those that are not redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ cannot make it. And I know people want us, I hear that mess all the time, Doug. You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Nobody was more perfect and more right, more just, more honest than Jesus Christ. And it was the people that said they knew God, walked with God, and understood God that gave him the most vexation of his whole life. The vexation was off the charts. But, you know, Jesus was adamantly, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and you hypocrites. Woe unto you blind guides. Woe unto ye fools and blind. You know, he called them vipers. He called them snakes. He called them hypocrites. Hey, if Jesus can do it, I don't see why I can't do it. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? See, I hear all my little goody-two-shoes preachers, well, they would never preach the 23rd chapter of Matthew. But, oh, if you're going to preach Jesus, preach all of him. But they don't want to preach that part because that might be... Can you imagine some of today's national preachers getting up in the pulpit and reading from Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Of course, their arrogance, he says, well, we would never have done that. He said, no, you're just the children of the fathers that did those things. This is where we are today. So when, you know, somebody like me will come along and preach all the Bible, you know, I'm castigated. I'm not such a nice Christian, you know, but my Bible is clear in the Pauline epistles. I'm not to be unequally yoked with people who do not believe the entirety of the Word of God. You know, you got people that tell you the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. And I tell people, well, where are the righteous dead that should be raised according to Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power. All right, there, this has been going on since 70, 80, 90 A.D., attacking the book of Revelation direct, indirectly, like Hymenaeus and Philetus in 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18. And their word, talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, Philetus doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So we have people, they say, oh, the book of Revelation is totally symbolic. It's not literal. Well, you have to be spiritually mature to look at one verse and say that is symbolic, that is literal, and that is spiritual. Like Revelation 19:15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now, let's be pragmatic. Do you think you're going to see a stainless steel sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ? No. But his word, Hebrews 4:12, Paul said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So that sword that John saw coming out of Christ's mouth was not a stainless steel sword. It was the word of God. And then it says, he shall rule with a rod of iron. Well, you reckon he's going to walk around with a 2-foot, half-inch piece of rebar in his hand? I kind of wish he would, and tap a few people on the head. But that is symbolic. You know? So you have to look at the scriptures. And only mature Christians can rightly divide the word of God. That's why you have such confusion in the church today. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when he treads the winepress and fierceness of his wrath, that's not a literal winepress. But it is as a wine press when he gets ready to vent his wrath. Nothing will get out without being pressed. Nothing will get through. So we have to look at things and prayerfully say, God, help my understanding. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And so this is why you have such a morass of false teaching, of heresy, of Jesus wouldn't say that, Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, if you don't know your Bible, you don't know what you're talking about. Because, as I said, a few preachers would stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning and quote Matthew 23:33 with the spirit in which Christ made that statement, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Preachers don't even believe in hell. You know, some preachers believe all the hell we're ever going to know is what's here on the earth. Well, if that's all we're going to know, this is a gravy train. But that's not reality. There is a literal hell. Because we know, according to Luke 16, the rich man who died and went there, he was tormented in flames. See, that's a literal story. I shouldn't say story. It's a literal truth about these two men. It doesn't say it's a parable. It's clear. One was a poor man, one was a rich man. And so, you know, as we walk this journey, this pilgrimage, my point of reference is always the word of God. You know, when my watch is broke, I go to a jeweler. When my car's broke, I go to a mechanic. When my life and the things around my life and in the lives of others, my point of reference is the word of God. You know, my point of reference is the word, because the word will tell me, the word of God tells you more about humanity than any book you could ever read from a PhD or a psychologist or psychiatrist. This book will answer all the questions because God made man. I like what Donald Trump said. I believe it was in Florida. He said, God made all of us. He made all of us. And he's the only one that can fix all of us. And so when you try to fix anything, an institution or a generation or a society without God's aid and assistance, it's impossible. Did you see where France is praying for a revival? Somebody's finally waking up that we need sovereign help, and it's not going to come from man. Go ahead.
No, I just find that very interesting. We're seeing things that I never thought I'd see. But
Psalms 108:12, David said, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." I mean, David understood, I cannot go out there in my own self and defeat Goliath. But he went out there with a sling and five stones, and he brought down the man, and I'll keep preaching this. I know people sometimes disagree with me. That stone didn't kill him. That stone just knocked him out. That's why he ran up there, pulled the sword out of Goliath's sheath, and beheaded him, and brought his head back to the armies of Israel, and said, here's what the Lord does. David took gratification or self-accolades and saying, look what I did. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. You know, you come to me with a sword. You come to me with a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Folks, that's where our power is. It's in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to encourage you, we can have so much victory here in this hour if we will just keep pressing in. You know, you gotta be determined. You gotta be like that athlete who's determined to win the marathon, win the race. You have to be disciplined. That's where we get the word disciple. We get the word discipline because we're disciplined. A disciple is disciplined to the tenets or doctrines of whoever they're following. And we're followers of Christ. And the greatest discipline is crucifying our flesh. And as you said, Doug, too many people's not willing to crucify their flesh, so they leave their post. You can't do it, folks. Mm. You gotta be steadfast. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. What causes a Christian to be steadfast is that they know their labor is not in vain. I know when I pray, when I fast, when I give, when I try to preach the Word of God, whatever I'm doing for the Lord, I know in the depth of my heart, I may not see the results that I want to see, but I do know one thing. If I remain steadfast, God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love, he said. And, you know, my steadfastness makes me unmovable. When something is not steadfast, it becomes movable. And David said in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And if the people of God will garrison themselves with God's Word, with the Holy Spirit of God, we can have victory. And you know, I'm expecting to see some great, great things this year. And it'll never happen like you and I will think it will happen. God said in His Word, in 1 Corinthians 1, He said He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Everybody said Donald Trump can't win. But you know what? God said, I'm going to show you what I can do. Nobody thought David could defeat Goliath. Nobody believed that but one man or one child. And, of course, it was David. He believed he could go out there and he could defeat that giant. He believed it because he had a relationship with God. He knew that God was able to help him to accomplish that. And when you walk with God, you know, it builds your confidence. It builds your faith. And David knew that as God helped him, defeat the lion and defeat the bear. He said, God will help me to defeat this uncircumcised Philistine. And so he did it. He had faith in it. And we need to have faith in God, just like the psalmist. And if we will put our faith in God and trust God, there's no doubt in my mind that God will not help us in this end time hour, and we can defeat our enemies. And so when we pray, when we fast, and we keep trusting God, we're going to see victories will take place. I want to share a verse of scripture while I'm on that, from 1 Samuel 17 and 46. David is talking to the giant. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I was reading that 6 months ago, that all the earth may know that there is a God. Now, I'm going to get a little carnally minded here. But if I, Doug, you and I went into a bar, and we were watching a football game, and we made a statement, well, that's like David against Goliath, most people would know who we were talking about.
Right.
Because that analogy is used all the time. Why is that analogy used? Because God said that all the earth may know there is a God. So if I walked into a bar and I talked about Lazarus and the resurrection, people would, they would not even relate to that. But if I use the phraseology, David and the giant, David and Goliath, they'd all relate to that, because God said the whole world's going to know about this story. And you know what? For the most part, whether you're a heathen, a sinner, a Christian, whatever, they know about David and Goliath because God said it. That shows you, when God says something, it's just not mere verbiage, mere words. There is a significance. You've heard me quote it, 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. What God spoke is always significant. It bears witness. It bears significance. And so when God said through David, of course, that all the earth may know that there is a God, he wasn't lying. Because even if you go into a gambling den or a bar and you mention David and Goliath, they know exactly what you're talking about. In other words, the feat is impossible. But, you know, it could happen, but for the most part, it's impossible. So that just shows you, when God says something, we need to embrace it and believe it. Amen.
I never thought of it. I just, you know, when you, it's so simple, David and Goliath, what you said, Pastor, I never really related it to God's word like that, and I'm ashamed to admit that.
Hey, no, I just saw this 6 months or so ago when I was reading it, that all the earth may know, and it hit me when I read it. I mean, I've read it God knows how many times, but every person fundamentally knows about David and Goliath. I mean, it's just, you know, in a sports world, you hear that analogy all the time. There's no way that guy can beat that guy, or whatever the case might be. But that's because God said it. And that gives me courage and strength in my inner man when I read what God has said, and I see it even on the lips of sinners. I know it's true without a doubt.
Amen. Wow. Wow. Yeah, and just thinking about that, it makes me smile. I mean, my goodness. Yeah. That the whole world would know.
The whole world would know. And they do know.
And they do. And they do. And wow. It's amazing. I love your phrase, just keep pressing in.
There you go.
I mean, that's just a marvelous, to me, a marvelous instruction. That's what we need to do.
Well, that's how we overcome. That's how we'll be victors. I reckon next Wednesday night is the last Wednesday night. We'll be taking a few questions, I suppose.
Yes, Pastor. As a matter of fact, people can send the questions. In fact, what we'll do is we'll put the address on HagmanReport.com.
But just contact us at the Voice of Evangelism. I've got some on my desk now.
Okay.
And of course, I think the last half hour we're going to take calls.
Yes, with your permission, we will. And it's
sure,
going to be great because so many people want to ask you to talk to you.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to answer a few of them. I don't know it all, I'll be honest. I don't want people to ever think I know it all. If I don't have an answer, I'll just tell you I don't have an answer. I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and make up something that like I'm the smartest guy in the world, because I am not the smartest guy in the world.
I'm not as smart as
Doug or Joe.
I'll tell you something. In terms of the Bible, we're just thankful that we have you to turn to when we have questions on the Bible. It's just you're an amazing man, and I just want to say thank you so much for being part of our show, such an integral part of our show. Thank you.
Well, I'm humbled by that. I promise you, I say that with humility. I'm not trying to feign humility, but I don't know it all. I just, you know, I love the Lord. I know you guys love the Lord, and that's why we do what we do, because we love Him and we want to serve God's people.
Amen, Pastor. And Pastor, thank you so much for being, again, for your gracious gift of time tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we can't wait for next week. It's all right.
God bless everyone. And hey, by the way, on the Wednesday night, I think it'll be April the 12th. I think it's April the 12th. Passover is April the 11th, so I want to have communion on the 12th, live with the people on the air. I think it's April the 12th, if I'm not mistaken, because Passover is the 11th.
Okay, that sounds marvelous. In fact, it will be the 12th. So
okay, great. Right. So I thought Passover was the 11th, and that way we'll have communion the day after Passover. So what better time to celebrate Jesus' passion and having communion the day after?
Amen to that. Pastor,
okay, guys.
Thank you so very much. God
bless you. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Amen. All right, have a blessed night.
Good night.
All right. Good night. Wow. What a great end to a show. And we love Pastor David Langford, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Be sure to send him go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. Send him an email. Tell him how much you appreciate his gift of time. Because it is... it's a commitment that he's got, and he's sharing his time with all of us. We really hope you enjoyed the program, and we certainly hope you subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we're in this battle together. Joe, I'm going to let you close out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to pull up the schedule for tomorrow here. I know in the first hour we have Lynn Liaz. She's going to be with us in the first hour.
Yeah, I think she was sick the last time she didn't come on.
And then we have Steve St. Agnello in hour two, and hour three is going to be open. And don't forget...
SGT report, or SRS report, I'm sorry.
And don't forget, on Friday, we will be joined by Roger Stone, as well as Kevin Shipp after Roger Stone. So it's a really strong closeout to the week, and there's no shortage of news and things going on. Pay attention. These people, I just saw a report, CNN put out a report. Donald Trump may be new information of suspected ties to Russia. I think they're trying to counter the narrative on the surveillance that's coming out. So keep your eye on that, as well as for the name of the London attacker, the terrorist attacker, if that ever gets released. Folks, have a good night. Stay safe. God bless. Until tomorrow.